When thinking about coming back to the UK, I ask God, what should I share? What have you taught me that I should share? And I want to share with you very briefly from a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight, Psalm 23. And as you're finding it, if you have your Bible with you, I encourage you tonight not to... I've read it before. I've read it 5 times. I've read it 100 times. For me, the Bible teaches that when we read Scripture, we should read it with open eyes and open minds to what God has to say to us tonight. And I encourage you to do the same. What I would like to do is just bring out some things that God's been teaching me through this psalm, and to encourage you and to challenge you to seek a life of faith. So I will read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If David was asked a question to start this psalm, what would it be? How would you describe your faith? I think would be a good question that he could have been asked as he wrote this psalm. And that's the question I would like to ask each of you tonight and ask myself. What does my faith mean to me? Because what it meant to David was everything. I struggle with the word want in this passage. I really like the version that says lack nothing. Because this psalm was written towards the end of David's life, where he knew that God had been there for them, for him, through thick, thin, through this close to death, to all of the different things that happened in his life. And if God's not all that we want, other things are before him. The Bible talks about idols, and we think of idols as these statues that are in other countries. But an idol is anything that comes before God. It can be money. It can be success. It can be family. It can be fame. Whatever it is. And that's my question I believe God's put in my heart to ask you tonight. Can you say that your faith means that you lack nothing in God? That's what God wants us to do. It's something that I really enjoy hearing, a phrase talking about how we should live our lives for Christ. There's words like surrendered, there's words like sacrifice, but one phrase for me that just sums it up is wholly abandoned. What does that mean? It means that my will is God's will, or that God's will is my will, whichever way you look at it, it's the same thing. I seek to do what God wants. Now you might say, you're a missionary, it's easy for you. Wrong answer. All I am, all we are as a family, is people who believe God has called us. And one of the things that God said to me very clearly when we were making this decision about whether we should go to Mexico was, if you say yes to me, leave the rest to me. Which means that all that we are doing, all of the needs that we have, all of the different things that have gone on, we've put into God's hands. Have we doubted? Yeah. Have we made mistakes? Yeah. And the last thing I want for you to think is that I stand here before you with everything sorted in my life, because that's not true. What I seek to do and what we seek to do is live a life where God is at the center, God is in control. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now the interesting thing for me is with this passage, and these words have been used so many times. You hear them in movies, you hear them in programs, you hear them, you see them on nice little covers. But what does it mean? And I'm sure for each of you this evening, it means something different. For David, his life was under threat. His own life. For other people, it's the same thing through health. For other people, it's loved ones who you've lost. And obviously, as you know, for me, we had that in our family too. But if I relate it back to verse 1, one of the most miraculous things that's happened is that from the first day, the first moment I heard about Stephen's death, I've had peace. Why? Because my faith is in God. And when my faith is in God, he comforts me. And I believe that's something that God has also asked me to encourage you tonight. If anybody is here who is in that shadow of death tonight, in whatever way, reach out to God. Have faith. He's there. Sometimes we talk about God's left me. There's only one person that moves, and that's us. God's there with his arms outstretched to us every day. Our job is to reach out. He's there. Going on to verse 5. I was given an illustration about this that really struck me. I'm a very visual learner, a very visual person. My cup overflows. What does that mean? Imagine a cup with a hole in it. That's our lives. We put into it, I'm talking to those of us tonight who are saved. We put into it church, prayer time, Bible study, other things. But there's a hole. So it constantly needs refilling. And particularly for those of you involved in leadership or in ministry full time, if that cup becomes empty, it's not good. An encouragement tonight is to keep your cup full. How do you keep your cup full? Spending time with God, reading his word, praying, coming to church. And verse 6, a promise which I've held very close to. But again, it's based on verse 1. Is our contentment, our happiness, our well-being, our success based on what we think or based on what God thinks? Because if it's based on what we think, we're not going to get very far. The past 2 years I've had more challenges. I've felt more uncomfortable than I've ever felt in my life. Being asked to do things I would never thought I'd be able to do. But that's where God wants us. And I challenge you, a phrase as we were singing that God popped into my head was, if we don't risk for God, we don't grow. I encourage each of you. This doesn't mean that you should be on the plane to Mexico tomorrow. What it means is, what is God calling you to do in your family, in your workplace, in your church, and being obedient to that call on your life? It might not be comfortable, but if God's asked you to do it, he will meet your needs. So I just want to just recap on those few thoughts that I've just given you. Encourage you. Is God all that you want? Can you say, I lack nothing because of God? Are you disheartened tonight? Are you struggling with something? God's there. Reach out to him. He won't turn us away. Like Carrie and Erasmus, we shared about, there's this attitude that lots of people have that we need to be in a right place with God before we can come into church. That's not church. Church is where people come to find God. And our cup is overflowing. And for each of us, and for me tonight standing, I don't know what the future holds. But I do know that I'm going to cling on to God. And that promise, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It doesn't say success. It doesn't say good health. It talks about God's goodness. This psalm is all about God, and our response is to say, here I am, Lord. Use me for your will. Let's pray. Father, you ask us to be wholly abandoned to you. You ask us to be committed to you. And Father, tonight I ask that you'll be with anyone here this evening who's feeling at a loss, who's feeling that you are not there. And Father, I pray tonight that you will reach out and they will know your presence so clearly. Father, I pray for those people tonight whose cups are empty because they're serving too much, Father. Father, I just pray that you will refresh them anew, fill their cup again, Father. Help them to put some things down and to focus on you, focus on your word, focus on prayer. And Father, I pray for those people who we come in contact with. Father, when people see the hope that we have in our lives, they're interested and they want to know more. Father, pray that you'll give us the confidence to share our testimony with whoever we meet in whatever circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen.